state subsidies to Sundance get conservative pushback. A Utah legislator wants to eliminate the need for a concealed carry permit. And Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker outlines a plan for 2013 in his State of the City address. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, January 23rd. I'm Brian Grimmett. A disagreement between supporters of the Sundance Film Festival and a conservative think tank in Utah is raising questions about whether tax dollars should support the arts. The Sutherland Institute says some films screened at Sundance do not reflect Utah values. KUER's Terry Gilday reports.
The controversy began with a blog post on the Sutherland Institute website. Writer Derek Monson called on Utah to end its sponsorship of Sundance because some of the movies shown there promoted sexual promiscuity. Paul Marrow is the president of Sutherland, based in Salt Lake City. He says the state should spend money on other priorities. Marrow says it should not subsidize the financially successful film festival founded by actor Robert Redford.
So it's almost like we're buying a friendship that doesn't naturally exist between Mr. Redford and the state of Utah. If that's the case, that's pretty pathetic.
Marrow says his organization is uniformly opposed to any kind of business subsidy, and that some of the films screened this year, like a biopic of the late porn star Linda Lovelace, cast an immoral shadow over the festival, no matter how much money it brings in.
A lot of these film festivals are held in major cities and elite enclaves. In those circles, maybe it complements their values, but these highly sexualized films don't complement the values of most Americans, let alone Utahns.
On Main Street in Park City this weekend, festival goers visited The Hub, a state office set up to act as an information center about making movies here. On the walls are posters of films shot in Utah, including 127 Hours and the upcoming rendition of The Lone Ranger. The state invested $300,000 in the festival this year. For that commitment, Utah's tourism logo is branded on everything from signs to brochures to lanyards. And Marshall Moore, director of the Utah Film Commission, says the logo is on screen credits before each film.
We were a significant contributor in terms of sponsorship, but it's, you know, something that we build into our budget every year and that allows Sundance to realize that the festival is important to the state.
Moore says the festival introduces many filmmakers to Utah.
We maybe, when we make trips to Los Angeles to promote Utah, talk to 20 filmmakers in a week. We're getting hundreds of people through our hub every day. And it's not just film, it's tourism and it's business and it's new businesses considering moving their companies here.
Moore says if Utah lost the Sundance Film Festival, it would be devastating to the state. But it doesn't look like Robert Redford is ready to leave yet. During a press conference on the opening day of Sundance, he said he's not swayed by Sutherland.
If they'd like us to go away, we'd probably take, what, $70, $80 million with us. $80 million come to the local economy in 10 days. Pretty good.
And for the Utah Film Commission, $80 million is an excellent return on that $300,000 investment. For NPR News, I'm Terry Gilday in Salt Lake City.
In the future, Utahns may no longer need a permit to carry a concealed weapon. Republican Representative John Mathis of Vernal has filed legislation that would amend Utah's gun laws, essentially eliminating the need for a concealed weapons permit. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Under Utah's current law, it's illegal to carry a concealed weapon unless you have a permit. But legislation filed by Representative John Mathis would change that. Under House Bill 76, anyone who's at least 21 years old and owns a gun legally could carry a concealed weapon. Clark Apashian is the chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council. Even though he teaches permit classes, Apashian says he will support the bill.
We find that it's a very tiny step in legislation, but a huge step in personal rights. We believe that the right to keep and bear arms means just that. The right to bear firearms. A concealed firearm permit goes against, you know, the general interpretation of the right to keep and bear arms.
Those seeking a permit are currently required to undergo basic safety training in Utah. Under HB 76, no training would be required to carry a concealed weapon. There are five other states which do not require a permit: Alaska, Arizona, Montana, Vermont, and Wyoming. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
2013 is the year of the bike for Salt Lake City. That's one commitment Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker outlined in his annual State of the City address last night. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Using the human body as a metaphor, Becker likened Salt Lake City's transportation system to a healthy bloodstream. He noted by the end of this year, Salt Lake City will see the largest expansion of an urban rail system in the nation, with new frontrunner and airport tracks lines. Becker added, in 2012, Salt Lake City increased the number of bikeways, added cycle tracks, and connected the Jordan River Trail to Davis County. But he says that's just the beginning.
You'll see a whole new level of improvement to increase education, participation, and safety for all travelers.
Becker announced Salt Lake City will launch a new bike share program this spring, the first of its kind in the western United States. The program will include a network of touchscreen bike stations stocked with bikes to check out day and night. The mayor hopes these efforts will help motivate residents to drive less and play a role in improving poor air quality in the region.
We will continue to advance aggressive measures in transit, bikes, pedestrian access, idle-free initiatives, and clear-the-air efforts, and work regionally and with other jurisdictions to address shared challenges.
Becker compared Salt Lake City residents to the muscle of the body, announcing new initiatives to strengthen health and wellness. He says this year the city will expand urban farming and preserve more open space.
The overarching goal is to develop a sustainable and equitable local food system capable of providing healthy food, food that literally builds the muscles of all city residents.
He ended his address by thanking Salt Lake City Councilman Carlton Christensen and Councilwoman Jill Remington Love for their years of service. The two will not seek re-election this year. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
The Outdoor Industry Association announced yesterday that it will keep the Outdoor Retailers Show in Salt Lake City for two more years. Peter Metcalf, the CEO of climbing gear manufacturer Black Diamond, says he's glad to see it, but he also says the urban air pollution that visitors are experiencing right now should be a wake-up call for Utah's elected officials.
It's time to take meaningful action if we hope to maintain the vibrancy of the show, of Sundance, of tourism. This air quality is not accretive to that.
Governor Gary Herbert and leaders of the outdoor industry plan a news conference this morning to unveil what they're calling a vision document for outdoor recreation in Utah.
Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment is declaring a health emergency over northern Utah's lingering air pollution. The group is planning to deliver a petition Wednesday demanding immediate action by Governor Gary Herbert and other elected officials. They suggest lowering highway speed limits, making mass transit free for the winter, and curbing industrial activities. They want a permanent ban on wood burning, and they want large employers to let people work from home.
More than 100 scientists have signed a letter to the Secretary of the Interior demanding that the government use the best scientific research as it makes plans for protecting the sage-grouse population in the West. Jim Catlin with the Wild Utah Project says it's clear that some practices, such as unrestricted grazing, threaten the grouse by reducing the plants that grow underneath the sagebrush cover. Federal and state agencies have been working on new plans for protecting the birds, but Catlin says there's nothing to stop them from taking action now.
BLM and the state both have full authority to take actions that include almost all the things you really need to do. So as grazing permits are renewed, decisions could be made on those right now. We don't have to wait for those plans.
The scientist's letter says the best research in the field came from the Bureau of Land Management's own national technical team last year. The state of Utah and several others hope to avoid having the sage-grouse listed as an endangered species, fearing that could lead to restrictions on grazing and oil and gas development.
Several environmental groups are suing the Bureau of Land Management over a natural gas drilling project near Desolation Canyon. The BLM approved Gasco's application to drill 1,300 gas wells in the area. 215 would be within a proposed wilderness area. Gasco says its project planning has been responsible. It took 8 years to win federal approval for the project. Arizona's attorney general says town marshals in Colorado City have kept some women who want to leave the polygamous community from leaving. Tom Horn told a news conference yesterday there's now a criminal probe of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the town marshal's office. Attorneys representing the marshal's office and the towns of Colorado City and Hilldale, Utah, adamantly denied the accusation. Blake Hamilton says the town marshal's office absolutely does not hold people against their will. The church is led by Warren Jeffs, who's been convicted of sexual assault against two young members. He's serving a life prison term in Texas. The Snow Basin Ski Patrol found a man's body near the antennas at the top of Mount Ogden yesterday. Weber County deputies say the man was in his 20s or 30s. They don't know his identity or the cause of death. The body was taken to the state medical examiner. And finally, a new federal report says the number of students dropping out of Utah's public high schools has been declining in recent years. The report shows a 2.6% dropout rate, which falls below the national median rate at 3.4%. Of the more than 161,400 students who enrolled at the beginning of the year in Utah, close to 4,133 students dropped out. The National Center for Educational Statistics released the report today, showing data for the 2009-2010 school year, which is the most recent data available. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, January 23rd. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Till next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.